This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, March 31st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Stocks planning to report out today. USDA may not reallocate sugar quota, and trade barriers report on TAP. USDA drops two of its most anticipated reports at noon Eastern today. Grain stocks and prospective plantings. They offer fresh numbers on crop supplies and early acreage intentions. Both can move markets and both land before growers know what the weather will bring this year. This year's backdrop is unusually volatile. A record corn harvest has left bins full, and the U.S.-Iran war is disrupting fertilizer and fuel shipments. That puts a big fat wild card right at the start of a critical year for American row crop farmers under so much financial strain from high production costs that the Trump administration dispersing $11 billion in aid, Congress considering more. On grain stocks, analysts are forecasting higher inventories than a year ago for corn, for soy, and for wheat. Cody Bills of the Farmers Business Network is predicting record highs. As for plantings, the USDA has just started its preliminary survey of farmers that when the war in the Middle East erupted and pushed up fertilizer prices. Higher costs could prompt some producers to switch from grains to much less fertilizer-reliant soybeans. Grain prices jumped since the war began on February 28th, but are down from four-week highs. In other words, what farmers told USDA then and what they might be thinking now are likely two different things. Susan Stroud of Noble Ag writes in a note to clients. She says acreage expectations are wide and probably wrong. Trade guesses put corn plantings at 94.5 million acres, down from 98 million last year. Soybeans at 85.5 million acres, up from 81.2 million last year. In the end, Stroud says it will be about the weather and the roller coaster tied to energy, potential for China demand and new biofuel blending rules. There's the issue as well of the possibility of more federal farm aid from Washington. To get paid, you have to plant, Stroud noted. After missing a deadline for reallocating unused quotas for reduced tariff raw sugar imports, USDA suggesting that it may not reallocate the quotas at all. Every year, the U.S. allocates tariff rate quotas to trading partners to allow at least 1.3 million tons to enter at a lower duty rate. Officials typically reallocate any unused quotas to ensure most are eventually used, but this year, an estimated 80,000 metric tons of unused quota may not be reallocated. A USDA spokesman told AgriPulse yesterday in an email, quote, conditions in farm country are difficult. Producers have been sounding the alarm for months. Why would the Trump administration bring in more foreign sugar to compete against domestic production? The sugar industry estimates that the unused quota could amount to around 80,000 metric tons. Those volumes could be forced to enter the U.S. at the out-of-quota tariff rate of more than 15 cents a pound. You can read more on the story at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op of the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is required to submit its annual National Trade Estimate Report to the President and Congress today. The report, which Chief Ag Trade Negotiator Julie Callahan calls, quote, the encyclopedia of bad behavior, It outlines trade barriers U.S. exporters face in international markets. Analysts and trade practitioners will be poring over this year's release for signals of the administration's shifting trade priorities. We're all getting a multitude of signals from the administration as to what they really care about, according to Dan Mullaney, a former assistant U.S. trade representative. Mullaney says he expects a greater focus on some of the trade issues that have been the subject of recent trade investigations, like forced labor and industrial capacity. He also says it could shed light on the administration's priorities and ongoing trade negotiations. Often you would get signals of that from the NTE report, he says. Representative Scott Franklin of Florida, vice chair of the House Appropriations Agriculture Subcommittee, leading a bipartisan group of lawmakers and urging EPA to complete a review of cutting-edge technologies to fight a disease that's caused citrus to plummet in Florida. The culprit is the so-called citrus greening, a fatal bacterial disease affecting citrus trees globally. It's contributed to a decline in flora production of more than 90% from its peak in the 1990s, according to a letter to EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin from Franklin and dozens other U.S. House lawmakers from the Sunshine State. Florida's citrus industry has taken hit after hit, from greening to hurricanes to recent freeze damage, but growers are resilient and science is starting to move in the right direction, Franklin said in a statement to AgriPulse. Rootstock technologies and other emerging tools are giving producers a real path forward. Growers are ready to reinvest and replant, but they need EPA to complete its review and provide a clear path forward. Recent freezes caused an estimated $675 million in damage to citrus alone, the lawmakers, including Democratic Representative Darren Soto, write. The letter says growers are prepared to invest more than 2.5 million new trees this year, but that depends on regulatory certainty and, quote, access to solutions that can sustain productivity over time. The EPA's review of emerging technologies includes gene-editing CRISPR-based tools, which Florida Farm Bureau Federation President Jeb Smith says, quote, offer a promising science-based solution to improve disease tolerance and restore confidence for growers looking to replant. Gevo plans to add a second ethanol facility at its North Dakota site, anticipating production of up to 75 million gallons of low-carbon ethanol per year. The project would follow a previously announced expansion of the existing plant. Together, the projects could raise total site capacity to 150 million gallons annually while capturing more than 400,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide and producing additional animal feed and corn oil. The site could support future alcohol-to-jet pathways to scale sustainable aviation fuel production, the company says. Gevo, which acquired Real Trail Energy in Richardton, North Dakota in 2025, shifted investments from its South Dakota site to North Dakota in part because of delays in the multi-state Summit Carbon Solutions carbon dioxide pipeline. Better biosecurity is helping keep highly pathogenic avian influenza and therefore egg prices at bay, the American Farm Bureau Federation says in the Market Intel report released yesterday. An analysis by AFBF economist Brent Nelson also says ongoing flock rebuilding and a more coordinated USDA response helping support continued stability in both supply and markets. January and February saw a sharp increase in detections with 15.5 million birds affected. While substantial, Nelson says in his analysis, the total is 56% lower than the first 2 months of 2025. So far this year, 20.62 million birds have been affected, down about 11% from 23.2 million affected in the same time last year. Egg prices have fallen 57% from last year's highs, according to Nelson. Here's today's final word. I have always been skeptical of the value of the WTO, and this week's conference confirmed that this organization will play only a limited role in future global trade policy efforts. That U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer, in a statement after negotiations on key issues at the 14th World Trade Organization Ministerial Conference, failed to reach a breakthrough. He continued, "I, along with many ministers, left my capital during a particularly busy time and traveled a long distance to participate in this ministerial, giving its potential significance. I was disappointed that so few of my counterparts attended, despite their repeated assertions that the WTO is, quote, at the core of the global trading system." Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, March 30th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chuck Nally.